are going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon here atop Mercedes-Benz Stadium after a 2-2 draw, making his way back up in just a moment. Garrett Chapman, he was downstairs just a moment ago, catching up with Rob Valentino post-match.
Coach, you switched up the formation today. Did you get what you wanted to see?
No, we didn't win the game, so no, we didn't.
So it wasn't the result that you wanted, but how can you build on this moving into Saturday?
We have to recover quick. Like, there's no one going to feel sorry for ourselves. We gave the game away. It's really disappointing.
Savalup Janica, of course, he has the goal and he has the assist. What can you say about your right winger?
He did good to get that, but then in the second half, you have to work. And the work in the second half from everybody is not good enough.
How can you build on having a stronger second half to match and complement what you saw in the first
complacency.
Half?
It's ridiculous. The complacency in that group right there for that, the second half performance, is unacceptable.
Coach, thank you.
And Garrett has made his way back up here now. And Garrett, frustrating. You and I were talking and saying, hey, what's different? What have we seen from this team? That was in the first half. Obviously flipped in the second half, and the word of the day today, at least in regards to Coach Rob Valentino, is complacency. Felt like there was a little maybe aggressiveness we saw in the first half that maybe didn't carry over. This is not something that's been new, unfortunately. We've seen some second half letdowns here by Atlanta United. They do find a way to hold on for 1 point. They had a chance, obviously, to find a winner there in stoppage time, unable to do so. A frustrating result, but all in all, considering where you are in the standings, it's something you probably have to take at this point.
Yeah, it looked like they were showing a willingness to take opportunities, take chances, and it ended up doing them pretty well. I mean, like, they got two goals in that first half, and some of those looked like goals that they would not actually try to take, or at least shots, that is. And, I mean, this is fresh off of a match where they got zero shots on goal. And, I mean, it was an improvement based off of that performance. But, look, when they go into the second half, you look really, really good in the first half. And then you just seemingly don't make any adjustments to what you see NYC try to do in the second half. And that's just not good enough. And, look, Rob Valentino was understandably frustrated with his side right now. I mean, giving up two goals in the second half is unacceptable. That's the only way that you can talk about it. It's unacceptable what this team did today.
We'll hear more from Rob Valentino when he takes the press conference podium in just a moment. Want to get to a couple of numbers from the match. This statistical recap brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional, hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Once again, United cedes possession to NYCFC. 58.2%, Atlanta United just 41.8%. But they did outshoot them 12-11. Shots on goal in favor of Atlanta United, 9-5. And by the website I was using, XG was actually dead even, 2.3-2.3. And obviously NYCFC picking up a lot of XG on that penalty kick. And there's going to be a lot of discussion in regards to that. I know we'll hear the frustration when we are joined by Jason Longshore and Mike Conti in a couple of segments. This is a situation where there's been a lot of tough calls against Atlanta United. I think it's very fair to say right now that there have not been anywhere near as many calls in favor of United as there have been against them. And I'm not trying to be some homer apologist. I think when you watch these games, you go back and look at some of the calls that have cost United games. This is just another one in that list. Not making excuses.
No, I know you're not.
But that's the reality.
But Abe, you gotta take the whistle out of the official's hands. That's the thing with this side. And I understand it. I've shared that frustration throughout the course of this season. Look, a lot of these plays seem to be going against Atlanta, and that's just the nature of soccer. I mean, these things happen. It's the nature of sports. But the thing is, the one consistent thing that this team has failed to do is take the whistle out of his hand. Make it so the official cannot dictate the outcome of these games. I mean, I can't sit here and blame an official for something. I mean, bad decision, yes, fine. But that's where it stops. What I've heard consistently is that this team is losing games because of officiating. No, this team is losing games because the team loses focus.
You know, I was talking with a friend throughout the first half, and he asked me what had changed with the team. And I honestly said, I think it's just luck. I think the luck has gone their way. I mean, you look at Daniel Rios' first goal, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him. That's a shot that probably should be saved, if we're going to be honest. I don't know what happened, the mess on Saba's goal. The keeper should play that out of bounds. I didn't see much of a difference. It felt like the things that wanted to fall in your favor somehow fell in your favor. That didn't happen in the second half. Real quick, Garrett, before we get to Rob Valentino, because I always forget, we've got to do it. Who was our man of the match today?
I'm going to give it to Saba Ljubičanica.
Good call.
He gets the goal and he gets the assist. But hold on 1 second. All right, yeah, but Saba Ljubičanica is going to be your man of the match. I thought I heard Rob Valentino. All right, so Rob Valentino has taken the podium downstairs. Let's send it down there.
It's not mine to decide. The referees make decisions. They've got VAR, all the things. I'll tell you what, we put ourselves in a situation to give them a good chance to call it.
And I'm just, what is your, are you frustrated? What are your emotions right now after seeing the team give up the two goals in the second half, both kind of soft goals again, and lose three pretty important points?
What do you think? Not to be disrespectful.
No, I understand.
Of course, I'm angry. I'm upset, all the things, but we got another game on Saturday to go after, and points lost, it's not three. You lose two on it, right, because you gain a point. I'm not happy about it, I'll tell you that.
How do you fix it before Saturday?
I mean... That's a good question. It's because the last game we looked at some things to fix, and then you go to this one, so it's just something different. You know, we were under some pressure, and we had tried to make adjustments at halftime about being better and just being more brave in the second half. And I think that it's not about the errors that they score the goals on are things that hopefully don't happen again. They're individual errors at times. So it's about eliminating those moments and having the concentration to be better in those moments. But we'll look at like the shape of the team and how that went, and then even what the real difference in the second half was. Was it a lack of aggression? Was it the shape? Was it a tactical change? I guess you'll have to look at the film again, and you look at that, and then you look at the opponent you're facing and go from there.
And last one for me. When you're – obviously two mistakes led to two goals for NYCFC. We've seen this pattern in the past. But when you're watching film of the team, are you seeing other mistakes that aren't getting punished, or are y'all just really, really unlucky right now?
No one's unlucky. I don't believe in that at the moment. I think that there's some times where you have warning shots where it's like, hey, they warned us twice. This happened on a back post cross or whatever. Like, what we got punished with tonight, for me, wasn't anything that, hey, they warned us once. This happened already. For me, I didn't see that. But at times there is. I think at times there's been games where we've lost on a back post cross that, hey, they've done this twice and we didn't solve it, and we didn't solve it in the moment. So when we look at film, we're critical of ourselves, and we have ownership of the mistakes we do make, and making sure that, like I've told you guys before, like that we're not making the same ones. But at some point, like, we have to try to put out fires when they happen, and if they are is or a warning shot or something that already happens, hey, this happened already, we have to cut it out. But as far as tonight, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. Rob, obviously the team followed up that Montreal game with, you know, you got two goals and then you got several shots on target. And you talked about that on Monday, wanting the team to be a bit more aggressive, taking a few more risks in the final third. Mm. Did you kind of see the response that you wanted to see from the team in that sense?
Yeah, we took your advice. We're talking about it. So, no, I'm just telling a joke now at a great time. I think in the first half, like, we even off the kickoff, right off the kickoff, we were more brave, more direct, and playing in their half, and the goal comes right away. So right away I was pleased, yes. And then I felt like they stuck with that aggression. They stuck with the bravery to play. The big thing is that we have to find out why we dropped off.
Yeah, look, we could keep with the press conference, but quite frankly, it's going to be a lot more of the same. Frustration, disappointment, need to minimize the errors. How do we turn over the page and move forward towards Saturday? And you can hear it from Rob Valentino, and I'm sure the players share a very similar mindset. One quick note before we continue, that Daniel Rios goal, 21 seconds, fastest goal in Atlanta United history. I mean, it was like a set play, essentially. You run that thing down there, put it in. You and I, Garrett, were making our way over from the studios. Mm-hmm. Is it? Does that really happen? Is this real? Or we? This happened, but unfortunately it did fall apart in the second half. 65th minute, a turnover, and Bakrar is able to get NYCFC on the board, and then a tough penalty goes against Atlanta United in the 82nd minute. A penalty kick equalizes, and had some chances in stoppage time too, but just couldn't get one past Matthew Friis there, the NYCFC goalie. And so it does end as a 2-2 draw. Atlanta United does find a point, but certainly there were opportunities there to grab all three, unable to do so. This is the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here. When we come back, we'll let you hear from the highlights, and we'll continue some analysis of what was a frustrating draw here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon, just moments away from being joined by the voices of Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. Atlanta United, they come away with a point. 2-2 draw against NYCFC live here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll get into highlights here in just a moment, but before we do that, I do want to go around the rest of Major League Soccer and update the rest of the results across the league. Very interesting result here at 2QL Stadium. Chicago, the 1-0 winners there. Columbus Crew, our opponent on Saturday, 1-1 draw against Charlotte. Miami FC, or FC Miami, they're able to get Inter Miami, 3-1 over Toronto. Philadelphia Union, 5-1 winners over New England. One quick note on that one, Kevon Sullivan becomes the youngest player ever to debut for a Major League Soccer side, 14 years old, Abe Gordon. We talked about that in the pregame show. What were you doing at 14?
Well, I was playing soccer, but it was at the local JCC. I wasn't exactly strapping it up against professionals there. Look, they were up 5-1 in the 85th minute, and you figure he's not going to cost you four goals in 8 minutes. So get the young guy some action. They do. He sets a new record, surpasses Freddie Adu for youngest player in MLS history.
14 years old, just something incredible. Elsewhere in matches still in action, Red Bull 1-0 over Montreal at the half. 75th minute, Dallas 3-1 over Austin. In the 70th minute, Minnesota and DC United are level at 1. And also in the 75th minute, Nashville down 2-0 to Orlando. That's going to be one that Atlanta's going to keep their eye on there because they are within striking distance of both of those clubs here. But let's jump into some highlights because highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And I'm not going to waste any time because Atlanta United didn't either. 20 seconds into the match, Atlanta snatches a 1-0 lead.
Lennon Foster to the touchline by Christian McFarland. He has it at the hash mark now and drops it back. Still in the attacking third to Schleich. Center to Moyamba. Flick to Saba. To the penalty spot. Rios shot. Score! 20 seconds into the match! Goals in Atlanta United team history. What a start.
Let me confirm, it is the fastest goal in Atlanta United history. 21 seconds is your official time. Daniel Rios gets the goal. Saba Lubjanice gets the assist. And then Atlanta was almost able to double their lead with a penalty kick overturned due to an offside on Jean De Silva when it was looked at by VAR. But in the 38th minute, Atlanta does double their lead when Saba catches a ricochet from a Silva shot and sinks it.
Now the ball knocked down to Schleich. Schleich dribbling into the central channel. Cut to the head. Jean De Silva, edge of the 18. Dribbles to the end line. Cross caught at the near post. And they put back into the goal by Saba Lobanice. Matt Friis spilled it and was sabotaged. And it's 2-0.
Perfect example of Atlanta United just taking shots. Just put shots in, and sometimes good things happen. And that is the score at halftime. 2-0, Atlanta on top. Vibes are strong here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But then NYCFC goes into the locker room, makes some adjustments, and in the 65th minute, Moncef Bakrar is able to cut into the Atlanta lead.
Sabalob Janidze might have to defend a little extra.
Giveaway right by Schlees to Bakrar. Brad off his line, and Bakrar beats him. 2-1. An inexplicable giveaway has given New York City life.
Yes, a very frustrating giveaway there from Bartek Schlees, and that is able to cut into the lead NYCFC does. And then a penalty kick in the 82nd minute levels it out.
Referee steps away. Magno standing behind the ball. Now to the left, he's up to it. He strikes it and scores. And New York City has overcome a two-goal deficit. Atlanta United, for the second time this year in this stadium, has blown a two-goal lead. And it's 2-2 in the 83rd minute.
Yeah, it was a very strong first half of action. Atlanta had a 2-0 lead, like Mike mentioned. But that is your final 2-2 draw here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the second time that Atlanta has blown a two-goal lead this season at home. Very frustrating match, leaving 2 points on the table, Abe.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple of ways you can look at this, right? I mean, if you had told me from what we had discussed, specifically the talking points that I thrust upon this team in the Five Stripes countdown, that they were going to come out and take a two-goal lead, you know, I would be satisfied. But certainly the way it plays itself out in the second half, maybe, obviously, no one would be satisfied. But yeah. I did say, and I'm going to stick to this because, for me, this is the mindset, is that this point matters. And look, there are two ways to approach it, right? You could say it could have been, should have been 3 points, and it's only one. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a way to approach it. But as pessimistic as I may be in multiple aspects of my life, Garrett, I have said this is a team right now that needs to tread water. And they need to not slip so far away from the playoff line that when the transfers, by the way, the window opens tomorrow, that when the transfers they do add come in, they need to be within shooting distance of climbing back up and finding their way into the playoffs. And quite frankly, yeah, it could be three, but right now 1 point kind of does that for you. It continues to bunch itself up. You're sitting on 25. Montreal still in action. Nashville still in action. They're at 26. And so we'll see how those results play themselves out. Nashville looks like they're not going to add to that point total because they are, I think they were down 2-0 to Orlando City, but I might be screwing that up. But yeah, so look, I'm going to approach it from the aspect of, I asked pregame, you got to find a way to stay in touch with the playoff line. It's not the happiest or most positive result you could find, but I do think 1 point does that for you tonight.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, like, this team needs to stay in position to qualify for the postseason because, I mean, it's going to get difficult here down the stretch. I mean, the schedule does not get any easier with Columbus Crew coming in here on Saturday, a team that scored 21 goals in the last six matches. I mean, that's a team that you need to come in and have a strong result again because, like you said, they need to start treading water. They need to start building up and stacking some positive results. And I understand you leave 2 points on the table, but you have to leave this behind. You need to move on. This is a match that you would like to have had 3 points, but a point is a point, and you needed it.
Also,
you come before this match starts, if you tell me that you are a 2-2 draw in this one, I would take that every day.
This is a point, and I know it's at home, but this is the number five team in the Eastern Conference. This is not you limping
It's a number five team in the Eastern Conference without their best central attacking player. They're
all-star.
That's
their problem. That's their fault.
Yes,
I'm just talking about, I mean, you're checking boxes. You were able to take a point, yes, at home, but against a team well above you in the standings. I think right now, considering, and you want to talk about teams missing players, I don't want to hear it from NYCFC's side, considering zero DPs in action for Atlanta United tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that they were injuries, because they were not injuries. They were choices that were made by NYCFC, and unfortunately, Atlanta United was not able to make them pay for it. Saba does get a fantastic performance here. He does get a goal. He does get an assist. Let's see if they can build on that to a good result, hopefully a positive one coming in here on Saturday. But we'll continue with that discussion here on the Full Time Report, as well as more of your questions here. Make sure you get those in at GChapETL, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. We do have something up there, so at 929 The Game as well. So make sure you get those questions in to us. I've seen a couple of those come in already, and we will get to those here on the other side as we also welcome in the voices of Atlanta United, Jason Longshore and Mike Conti. This is the Full Time Report, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Back to the Full Time Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, site of a 2-2 draw between Atlanta United and NYCFC. This is the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. We'd like to welcome in Mike Connie and Jason Longshore here, the voices of Atlanta United. And I guess I want to start here, guys, as I stand up so I can see you both. The first half, we were driving in. We catch that 20-second goal, 21 seconds immediately. We're here in time to see the Saba's goal there. Did you notice anything different in regards to Atlanta United's performance in the first half? We've seen a couple of good halves. I mean, even in losing efforts, we've seen good halves here from Atlanta United. But coming off of a performance where they did not register a shot on goal, very interested to see what they put forth. And it, at least by scoreline, was noticeable. Did you guys see anything different from this team in the first 45?
Well, I think one of the big differences, and we've talked about this a couple times, especially over the last month, where it feels like Atlanta United is always trailing or playing even. To get that goal in the first 20 seconds, just from, I don't know if it's a confidence standpoint, but the mentality just gets so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this, Abe, honestly, Atlanta got the goal 21 seconds into it and then really did not have control of the match for the next half hour. And then good work by them to manufacture the second goal, and now you feel like they're really off and running. So, short answer, I didn't really notice that much of a difference.
I'll be honest, I was texting with a couple of people, and they asked me, what's different? They're up 2-0. I said, the ball just bounced their way, and I'm not trying to take away. I mentioned this. I thought that goal from Rios probably should have been saved. It wasn't hit very well. It wasn't hit to a corner. It may have taken a slight deflection.
It deflected in front.
I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, it deflected.
I was watching on my phone. It was a small screen. So the deflection
plays. Don't watch the phone while you're driving, Abe.
Well, technically, I was saw the replay. It happened so fast.
Fair enough.
Parked and walked up. But
safety first.
And even the second goal, I mean, that should be saved and deflected out of bounds. And it
No. Yeah. Come on.
What, second goal?
Come on. Oh, guys. Yeah. Look, I'm going to say this.
No, not Saba's shot. The initial before
exactly.
The rebound.
Shonday's shot is a good one from a hard angle right at him. That's very difficult to push over the line. Could he have caught it? Probably not. It's a hard play to
right
make
at him.
For the goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
my point was is that I'm not seeing the team look different. I just thought a couple balls bounced their way.
I agree, that's all I'm
trying to get to.
Yeah. I agree with you, but the point that I'll make, because this is where we're going to talk performance and we're going to talk results, and they're two different things. The performances have not been as bad as the results have been lately. So tonight, when you get a little bit of good fortune in different ways, and you make your own luck in this case, I know Rob can't say it, but he said, you know, nobody's unlucky. Luck's a big part of this game. We know that. You can't say that as a coach. You can't say that to the media. I get that. I understand it. But, okay, you get a couple goals that you haven't been getting lately.
Right.
Shonday Silva takes a low-percentage shot that forces a save that then the rebound is put in.
Right.
That was my issue in Montreal. So you made your luck. You weren't dramatically better than you were before, but you weren't dramatically bad before either. That's the thing. And I think at times we make results and performance be the same thing. They're not. And that's been the frustrating thing for this locker room, is they've played better than their record is.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can throw cliches out all day about your record is what you are. I get that. I understand that. It's where you are in the standings. But in terms of the quality of your performances, your record doesn't always match that. And in Atlanta's case, it is not.
Well, Jason, actually, just like one stat that really absolutely reinforces what you're saying right there, and it's pretty plain and simple. You just look at the goal differential of the teams that are around Atlanta United in the playoff standings. -14 for Toronto, they're in eighth place. Ninth place is Nashville, -10. Montreal is -15. Chicago is -11. You're -2.
It's because you haven't been blown out this year.
You're in every match, because your performance generally, this team is remaining in, they're in just about every game that they play outside of the Real Salt Lake match.
They were in that one, too.
You gave up 3 goals off of set pieces.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the difference. It's not from the run of play. Your expected goal difference is almost +10. Mm-hmm. Like, look, it's expected goals are what they are. I don't think they're always accurate. We know what penalties end up giving. It's 0.78 usually in the model. Saba's from so close is a huge XG number. I don't know what it would have fallen to. I'd be curious to see. It's at least 0.6, 0.7 in that ballpark because of where he takes the shot from. XG doesn't tell you everything, but when it's over the amount of games Atlanta's played and you're like 10 goals scored off of it, it's like, wow, okay, you're playing better than your results are. You're playing better than what you're producing. And that's where Atlanta's been. This is a team that has been fighting in every match. They've been competitive in every match. Even Montreal, they had opportunities. The difference, if we want to find that tonight, and I think I harped on it probably a little bit too much in the first half, they took those half chances and they tried to make something of them. And Montreal, and I talked about this on Dukes and Bell earlier today, when you know you're going to have less chances without Thiago Almada, you are. That's just the nature of what you have to work with right now. At times, you go one of two ways when you're going to do that. Sometimes it is you tighten up and you don't take the chances that are there and you look for the perfect chance. I think that's what Atlanta's been doing. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is, all right, we got to try to find those other chances that we're not going to get because we don't have Thiago Almada. That's what Shonde did. That shot from Shonde, it's a very low percentage shot. The XG might actually be kind of high because it's close to the goal, but it's a bad angle. So he does something to try to force it, and you were rewarded for it. That's what was different tonight.
So many things happen when you take a shot. It doesn't even have to be on that. Deflections,
finishing the play.
Corners, set pieces. You miss hit balls upper 90. You get rebound. I think just putting something out there is key. I got to ask you this before we move on because it's tough not to look at it as the defining moment of this game.
It is.
But that penalty in the 80th plus minute there, and look, there is contact from Brooks Lennon. He's got a hand on a hip and a hand slightly pulling a jersey.
Did he push him?
No, we're going to get there.
Did he
yank? We're going to get there.
I'm just asking.
He does not – there is a little bit of a grab. It's not enough to rise to a penalty on its own, the grab of the jersey.
I don't think so.
What happens is a dive.
Yes.
He takes his own feet from under him.
Yes.
And it is given.
That's a good way to describe it.
And when you watch the replay even more so, I mean, it's not even a foot in the area. It's just a hand on the hip and a guy takes his own legs out. And there's got to be a way, especially when you see a card given a couple minutes later to Luke Brennan for simulation, mm-hmm. there's got to be a way to understand the physical of what your body is doing and what contact would be required for the body to react that way. And it just wasn't there from Brooks Lennon. It was still given as a penalty.
This is why the Premier League made a very big deal going into last season about not giving those as penalties. Because does it feel right? No. Did Brooks Lennon push him? No. Did he move Tylus Magno at all with his right arm? No. Did he maybe have a little hand on the shirt? Maybe. But is that a foul on its own? No, he didn't yank him. There is nothing there. I have said so many times this season, when referees make decisions, you can like decisions, you cannot like decisions. Can you justify the call? I think if you're going to try to justify that call, you are going to twist yourself into such a pretzel to try to find a way to justify it. I don't think you look at that and decide that it's a foul. And in a perfect world, it doesn't make a difference in the result, but it did tonight. And that's a point lost. That's 2 points lost.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, guys, I'm going to be the first one to admit, Jason has forgotten more about soccer than I will ever know. So please. But I'm going to say with a huge grain of salt, because I do absolutely respect the way that Jason saw that play. My opinion remains it was a soft penalty, but it was a penalty. And I think there's a couple things we need to keep in mind on this. We were shown TV angles in the booth here. You saw it if you were watching on Apple. I think, Abe, you have described it almost letter perfect, the way it unfolded. Lucas Spalla, the referee, is standing in a completely different position than the cameras. Okay, he's got the, air quotes, reverse angle. So perhaps, and I hate to give the benefit of the doubt to a referee, believe me, I never do, perhaps there is something that only Lucas Spala saw that was not evident to us on TV. My issue is, and Jason talks about arms extended a lot. I'm not sure arms were extended, but there was the grab.
There's a pull.
And yeah. I think
I don't think there's a pull.
I don't know if there's a pull.
I thoroughly
disagree. But there's definitely a grab.
Then it's not a penalty, though. If it's not a pull, it's not a penalty.
Jason, hear me out.
Okay, but I'm just saying you can grab a jersey, you can hand check somebody, but that's not a foul.
I get it. What I'm saying is we are in agreement. Okay, I don't like the call.
Actually, we're not. I don't think you can justify the penalty.
Here's the wait, let me finish.
Yeah, sorry.
Please. When you grab a jersey, you are invited.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, site of a 2-2 draw between Atlanta United and NYCFC. This is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman here. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. Would like to welcome in Mike Conney and Jason Longshore here, the voices of Atlanta United. And I guess I want to start here, guys, as I stand up so I can see you both. The first half, we were driving in. We catch that 20-second goal, 21 seconds immediately. We're here in time to see the Saba's goal there. Did you notice anything different in regards to Atlanta United's performance in the first half? We've seen a couple of good halves. I mean, even in losing efforts, we've seen good halves here from Atlanta United. But coming off of a performance where they did not register a shot on goal, very interested to see what they put forth. And it, at least by scoreline, was noticeable. Did you guys see anything different from this team in the first 45?
Well, I think one of the big differences, and we've talked about this a couple times, especially over the last month, where it feels like Atlanta United is always trailing or playing even. To get that goal in the first 20 seconds, just from, I don't know if it's a confidence standpoint, but the mentality just gets so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this, Abe, honestly, Atlanta got the goal 21 seconds into it and then really did not have control of the match for the next half hour. And then good work by them to manufacture the second goal, and now you feel like they're really off and running. So, short answer, I didn't really notice that much of a difference.
I'll be honest, I was texting with a couple of people, and they asked me, what's different? They're up 2-0. I said, the ball just bounced their way. And I'm not trying to take away, I mentioned this, I thought that goal from Rios probably should have been saved. It wasn't hit very well. It wasn't hit to a corner. It may have taken a slight deflection.
It deflected in front.
And I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, it deflected.
I was watching on my phone. It was a small screen. So the deflection
plays into it. Don't watch the phone while you're driving, Abe.
Well, technically I was saw the replay. It happened so fast.
Fair enough.
Parked and walked up. But
safety first.
And even the second goal, I mean, that should be saved and deflected out of bounds. And it
No. Yeah. Come on.
What, the guys, second goal?
Come on. Oh, guys. Yeah. Look, I'm going to say this.
No, not Saba's shot. The initial before
exactly.
The rebound.
Shonday's shot is a good one from a hard angle right at him. That's very difficult to push over the line. Could he have caught it? Probably not. It's a hard play to
right
make
at him.
For the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
yeah. Like,
I guess my point was is that I'm not seeing the team look different. I just thought a couple balls bounced their way.
I agree, that's all I'm
trying to get to. Yeah.
I agree with you, but the point that I'll make, because this is where we're going to talk performance and we're going to talk results, and they're two different things. The performances have not been as bad as the results have been lately. So tonight, when you get a little bit of good fortune in different ways, and you make your own luck in this case, I know Rob can't say it, but he said, you know, nobody's unlucky. Luck's a big part of this game. We know that. You can't say that as a coach. You can't say that to the media. I get that. I understand it. But, okay, you get a couple goals that you haven't been getting lately.
Right.
Shonday Silva takes a low-percentage shot that forces a save that then the rebound is put in.
Right.
That was my issue in Montreal. So you made your luck. You weren't dramatically better than you were before, but you weren't dramatically bad before either. That's the thing. And I think at times we make results and performance be the same thing. They're not. And that's been the frustrating thing for this locker room is they've played better than their record is.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can throw cliches out all day about your record is what you are. I get that. I understand that. It's where you are in the standings. But in terms of the quality of your performances, your record doesn't always match that. And in Atlanta's case, it is not.
Well, Jason, actually, just like to something to one stat that really absolutely reinforces what you're saying right there, and it's pretty plain and simple. You just look at the goal differential of the teams that are around Atlanta United in the playoff standings. -14 for Toronto. They're in eighth place. Ninth place is Nashville, -10. Montreal is -15. Chicago is -11. You're -2.
It's because you haven't been blown out this year.
But well, that because and, you're in every match, because right. your performance True. Generally, this team is remaining in – they're in just about every game that they play outside of the Rail-Salt Lake match.
They were in that one, too.
You gave up three goals off of set pieces.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the difference. It's not from the run of play. Your expected goal difference is almost +10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, it's expected goals are what they are. I don't think they're always accurate. We know what penalties end up giving. It's 0.78 usually in the model. Saba's from so close is a huge XG number. I don't know what it would have fallen to. I'd be curious to see. It's at least 0.6, 0.7 in that ballpark because of where he takes the shot from. XG doesn't tell you everything, but when it's over the amount of games Atlanta's played and you're like 10 goals scored off of it, it's like, wow, okay, you're playing better than your results are. You're playing better than what you're producing. And that's where Atlanta's been. This is a team that has been fighting in every match. They've been competitive in every match. Even Montreal, they had opportunities. The difference, if we want to find that tonight, and I think I harped on it probably a little bit too much in the first half, they took those half chances and they tried to make something of them. And Montreal, and I talked about this on Dukes and Bell earlier today, when you know you're going to have less chances without Thiago Almada, you are. That's just the nature of what you have to work with right now. At times, you go one of two ways when you're going to do that. Sometimes it is you tighten up and you don't take the chances that are there and you look for the perfect chance. I think that's what Atlanta's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is, all right, we got to try to find those other chances that we're not going to get because we don't have Thiago Almada. That's what Shonde did. That shot from Shonde, it's a very low percentage shot. The XG might actually be kind of high because it's close to the goal, but it's a bad angle. So he does something to try to force it, and you're rewarded for it. That's what was different tonight.
So many things happen when you take a shot. It doesn't even have to be on that deflection.
Finishing the play.
Corners, set pieces. You miss hit balls upper 90. You get rebound. I think just putting something out there is key. I got to ask you this before we move on because it's tough not to look at it as the defining moment of this game.
It is.
But that penalty in the 80th-plus minute there, and look, there is contact from Brooks Lennon. He's got a hand on a hip and a hand slightly pulling a jersey.
Did he push him?
No, we're going to get there.
Did he
yank We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I'm just asking.
He does not – there is a little bit of a grab. It's not enough to rise to a penalty on its own, the grab of the jersey.
I don't think so.
What happens is a dive.
Yes.
He takes his own feet from under him.
Yes.
And it is given.
That's a good way to describe it.
And when you watch the replay even more so, I mean, it's not even a foot in the area. It's just a hand on the hip and a guy takes his own legs out. And there's got to be a way, especially when you see a card given a couple minutes later to Luke Brennan for simulation, mm-hmm. there's got to be a way to understand the physical of your body is doing and what contact would be required for the body to react that way. And it just wasn't there from Brooks Lennon. It was still given as a penalty.
This is why the Premier League made a very big deal going into last season about not giving those as penalties. Because does it feel right? No. Did Brooks Lennon push him? No. Did he move Tylus Magno at all with his right arm? No. Did he maybe have a little hand on the shirt? Maybe. But is that a foul on its own? No, he didn't yank him. There is nothing there. I have said so many times this season, when referees make decisions, you can like decisions, you cannot like decisions. Can you justify the call? I think if you're going to try to justify that call, you are going to twist yourself into such a pretzel to try to find a way to justify it. I don't think you look at that and decide that it's a foul. And in a perfect world, it doesn't make a difference in the result, but it did tonight. And that's a point lost. That's 2 points lost.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, guys, I'm going to be the first one to admit Jason has forgotten more about soccer than I will ever know. So please, what I'm going to say with a huge grain of salt, because I do absolutely respect the way that Jason saw that play. My opinion remains it was a soft penalty, but it was a penalty. And I think there's a couple things we need to keep in mind on this. We were shown TV angles in the booth here. You saw it if you were watching on Apple. I think, Abe, you have described it almost letter perfect, the way it unfolded. Lucas Spalla, the referee, is standing in a completely different position than the cameras. Okay, he's got the, air quotes, reverse angle. So perhaps, and I hate to give the benefit of the doubt to a referee, believe me, I never do, perhaps there is something that only Lucas Spalla saw that was not evident to us on TV. My issue is, and Jason talks about arms extended a lot. I'm not sure arms were extended, but there was the grab.
There's a pull.
And yeah. I think
I don't think there's a pull.
I don't know if there's a pull, but but there's definitely a grab.
Then it's not a penalty, though. But, if it's not a pull, it's not a penalty.
Jason, hear me out.
Okay, but I'm just saying you can grab a jersey, you can hand check somebody, but that's not a foul.
I get it. What I'm saying is we are in agreement. Okay, I don't like the call.
Actually, we're not. I don't think you can justify the penalty.
Here's the other... Wait, let me finish.
Yeah, sorry.
Please. When you grab a jersey, you are inviting the referee to make a call.
That's true, yeah.
Here's the question I would have, which I know they don't address. When you look at it in replay and you see the theatrics of him going down and the feet and the stumble, which there's no contact for that to be made, was the penalty called because of that? Or they did not tell us. I have no idea why the penalty was called. Make an argument in agreement with Mike. You could call the penalty. It's light. I agree. Based just on the hands on the jersey.
I hate that. I agree.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to. And people can say whatever they want. And I honestly do not care. I react the way that I see the game. I've played the game at as high of a level as I possibly could. I have coached the game. I've been on the sidelines. I've done this for a long time. I don't just react because I'm the Atlanta United commentator. I react because that play to decide a game is not how we want games decided. He did not push or pull the player. He did not move the player with the contact. Contact is part of the game. Did it affect the player? Absolutely not. The movement from Tylus Magno is not a result of the contact from Brooks Lennon. Therefore, it should not be a penalty. That's my opinion, and I'm sure professional referees organization will find a way to justify the call. That's fine. But I will add this. I know you guys talked about it in the first segment. There's that call. There's the Charlotte goal that changed the game, that we heard later the VAR shouldn't have gotten involved in. There's the LAFC situation. There's been a lot of those. So if you're wondering why Brooks Lennon was irate and probably said a lot of things to Lucas Spalla, I'm frustrated about it. A lot of people are.
It's 9 points you've lost due to calls.
It's a lot.
Year. It's 9 points you've lost due to calls.
And the second yellow in Montreal with Gregerson. Like, every little thing like that that you can find has gone against this team. And when you're not playing as well as you want to, and that's happening, it's very frustrating and demoralizing. So my reaction to what I saw is my reaction to what I saw. Can agree, disagree, whatever, that's fine. But it's not coming purely from a guessing standpoint or anything. My opinion on it is that Brooks Lennon's contact, whatever it is, did not result in the action that Tylus Magno made. Therefore, it's simulation. Penalty should not be given.
As the voice of Jason Longshore, Mike Connie as well. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here. We are way overdue for a break, so we're going to take one right now. No, I knew where that was headed, but that's all right. This is the Full-Time Report live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bad
back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The expectation will be after Lee's.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, joined by the voices of Atlanta United. 2-2 draw for Atlanta here against NYCFC on the next match coming up on Saturday. We'll discuss that one here as we go throughout the show. Make sure to get those questions in at GChapETL, at Mike Conti 929, at Abe Gordon, and at Long Shoe on Twitter. So, and I think we have some audio from Brad Guzan. We'll hear that here in just a little bit as well. But I do want to welcome in Mike Conti. We had some a discussion here, and I want to bring that to the folks out there.
Yes, I would like to make a monologue at this time. No. I think clearly this has been an enormously frustrating season for Atlanta United. They've played now 24 matches and have only 6 wins. I mean, way, way, way below club standard. And I know that it's very, very tempting to get very frustrated with blowing a 2-goal lead tonight. I think this all comes back to one very basic fact, that this team is very, very tired. And some of why that is within their control. They did sell some players. A lot of it is not in their control. The fixture compression, players getting called up for international duty, players getting called into CONCACAF U20. I mean, you name it. You've had a lot of call-ups, and between that and injuries and everything else, you've been left with a very thin team with your remaining first-choice guys playing a ton of minutes. And I would use Bartek Schleisch as an example tonight of someone who played a fantastic first half and made a grievous error in the 65th minute, because what happens when you get fatigued is you make mistakes. I think we are seeing this around the league. I think there have been way below standard matches played around the league over the last couple months in many cases, because it's just too much right now. So as Garth Lagerwey told us during the pre-match show, they're going to be very, very active in this transfer window. They're going to bring guys in. We could see one on Saturday. Garth certainly made it sound like League's Cup would be maybe a little too soon to see some of the players that could be brought in, and a lot of that has to do with travel and visas and everything like that. But the bottom line is, what's Atlanta United on right now? 27 points? 20. Help me out.
Right now it's 25.
20. Okay, 25. You know, we'll see what happens Saturday. You're going to go in your final 9 matches of the season, probably needing 2 points. Well, you'll need 2 points per match to get to 43 points, and I still don't know if that's going to be enough to put you in the top 9. You might have to play above 2 points per match. So this thing is not over yet, but I will be anxious to see this team maybe in a better position physically with some help. As I said at the end of the game in Montreal, this group badly needs the help right now. I'll be very interesting to see how this plays out, because I don't think this is over yet.
And, Mike, to your point, too, I just went back and did quick math, so check me on that here in a second. But, look, going back to April, this team has been playing a match every 4 days.
It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Every 4 days. And a lot of these guys are – that doesn't even include Euros. That doesn't include other call-ups. I mean, this is the kind of situation where you have guys like Bartosz Schleisch who are playing a full 90 minutes and running in the midfield. And what you're asking these guys to do, just from a fitness standpoint, is unlike anything that we've seen. I mean, every 4 days.
I don't think they've had the ability to have a conventional training since the week off after the Charlotte match, and that was in early June. So, look, not making excuses. I think just trying to provide context to where things are right now. And you know, I'll be the first one to say that Atlanta United has absolutely underperformed this season. But I think what we saw tonight is just another example of the team breaking down due to fatigue. And I really, really wish Sean De Silva would have scored from the top of the 18 at the end of the first half when Freeze made that fingertip save. Because if it's 3-0 going into the dressing room, it's lights out.
Yeah. And look, I know one word that was used a lot with me, like when I was talking to Rob Valentino after the match, he used the word complacency. in the second half a lot. He said specifically he did not like what he saw with complacency. And Jason, I mean, is that what you saw in the second half?
No, I didn't see it that way. I saw New York City make a change that put Hannes Wolf at left back and brought on Tylus Magno, and they overloaded the left side. Brooks Lennon could only do so much. Sabalop Janidze, I think, was tired and couldn't chase back the whole time, and you weren't covering that side enough. It felt like where NYC started to really chip away at the game was on the left with that move, because you're putting a winger at left back and you're bringing on a winger who's very talented and hasn't played a whole lot this season. I guess maybe because he falls down all the time. It's just been one of those situations where they make the sub that changes the game, and you don't really have an answer to it. We saw this at Real Salt Lake as well, when they brought on Andrew Brody at halftime and were able to then attack down the wings more successfully after Atlanta took away the middle. In this one, I don't really know what the change would have been outside of really just going to a line of five and sitting back and trying to absorb the pressure. But to me, it didn't feel like complacency. Tired legs is part of it, but I think it was a tactical move that Nick Cushing made that really started to topple Atlanta over a little bit on that left side.
Yeah, and NYCFC, of course, able to notch two goals in the second half and run away back to the confines of their baseball field with a point.
Baseball fields, they have two.
Exactly. So when we get back, we're going to continue our discussion here. NYCFC able to take a point from Atlanta United. Both they share a point here. More discussion here, 2-2 draw from Atlanta United. This is the Full-Time Report, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon here along with Garrett Chapman, Jason Longshore, and Mike Conti. And look, enough about what we've seen today. I do want to look forward, and I know Garrett's going to ask you about the next match in just a moment. I want to talk about something else that could happen as early as tomorrow, and that is the transfer window. And we're awaiting some reinforcements, some additions to this team. And Jason, I want to ask you this. Simply based on what we've seen out of Daniel Rios recently, has there been any adjustments to maybe what this team is looking for out of the transfer window?
No, it's a good question. I don't think adjustments in terms of you're not looking for a nine. Has it maybe changed the priorities?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Daniel Rios is a player that I've talked about. It's 2019 when he went to Nashville and he was their first MLS signing and had a great year in USL Championship, and then never really seemed to get an opportunity in Nashville. Then he ends up in Charlotte, and he never seemed to really get an opportunity in Charlotte. Went back to Chivas, never seemed to get an opportunity there. He's getting it now, and what's he doing? He's putting a goal or an assist pretty much every game. That's substantial. So does that give you the ability to, you want to look for a number nine? Okay, look a little harder. You can spend a little bit more. You can go for a more challenging purchase. You got to get the number 10, though. That's the part that you have to go get. I don't know if it changed the priority order. I think maybe it's just the way things have fallen. We've heard a good bit about Alexei Maranchuk from Atalanta. You know, maybe that was just the deal that got closer. We haven't really heard about a number 9 in any significant detail. I know there's been rumors out there, but from reputable sources. I don't think Rios' performances changed that order of going out and looking for guys, but it does give you more flexibility right now, because if you get Maranchuk in and you're creating more chances and Daniel Rios continues to do what he's been doing, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a situation where, Abe, you talked about it when we kicked off the Full-Time Report. You've said it now for a few weeks. I mean, this team needs to tread water, needs to stay in striking position, and right now they're just a few points off of the playoff line. And, I mean, if you're able to stack some positive results and get something good out of your next couple of matches before at the beginning of this transfer window, maybe you can build up enough momentum and go on a run and see what you can do come the second half of the season and, like, once it actually ramps all the way up. And, look, this team has some glaring needs. It has some things that need to be addressed. We've talked to Garth Lagerwey about it. We've talked about it ad nauseum here on our programs. And I mean, until Atlanta's able to continuously stack positive results, it's all talk, and that's all it can be. But as far as building those results, I mean, they are able to get a point today here from NYCFC. Doesn't always feel like a complete and total positive, but it is a point, and it keeps them alive in that playoff race. But coming to town on Saturday, you have Columbus Crew, which, I mean, by all means, is the best team in Major League Soccer. They just beat LAFC 5-1 out there on the West Coast on Saturday. They've scored 21 goals in their last six matches. I mean, this is an Atlanta United squad that I was optimistic was going to be able to get a positive result today. They technically do. But sometimes draws do feel like losses, and this one kind of feels that way.
Columbus will be coming off a draw that feels like a loss. Mm-hmm. They gave up a late goal to Charlotte tonight to cough up 2 points at home. Columbus will play with a backup goalkeeper. Patrick Schulte is with the U-20s right now. Hagen, their backup goalkeeper, I obviously couldn't watch the match, but it looked like statistically he had a huge game tonight. Charlotte had over 3 XG. And Hagen held him to one and almost got the clean sheet. Columbus did not rotate tonight otherwise. I think that's significant. Just keep that in mind. They were playing at home tonight. So maybe, just maybe, glimmer of hope, you could see a little bit of rotation on Saturday. I think, again, to me, you hope for the best on Saturday. You're really judging this team and where this is going to go the rest of the year once you get out of League's Cup and you get your transfer, your incomings brought in here. I think Rob's probably going to have to problem solve some issues lineup wise a little bit. Might go back to the back five because you will have Steven Gregerson back available. I don't know if Dax McCarty could give you 90 more minutes on Saturday because he had a long run out tonight. Saba, I think, really emptied the tank tonight. Shande Silva emptied the tank tonight. So might be a little bit of problem solving that Rob has to do. But look, you're still at home. And I know the home form hasn't been great this year, but you're still at home. Mm-hmm. And I think in your last three, you're unbeaten at home, I want to say. A couple draws in there, but Houston, Toronto, and now New York City. Mm-hmm. And to Abe's point at the beginning of the show, if you were to tell me in the office today Atlanta United is going to play to a 2-2 draw against New York City, not knowing how it would happen, we're like, all right, I'll take that.
I've been saying, knowing what the team is right now, especially with Noah Cobb out and Caleb Wiley gone and other things, I mean, a point is huge. I know it doesn't sound like it, and no one's happy with a point when it looked like three was on the table. But a point right now is huge to just stay in touch with the playoff line.
Well,
it really is.
If you find a way to get three
on
Saturday, that's massive. Because we talked about if you're at a two-point-per-match clip coming out of League's Cup, right now that only gets you to 43 points, and that's not going to be enough. If you could somehow get three on Saturday, now that a two-point-per-match clip could get you to 46, that probably will be enough to get you at least to ninth. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and then one quick note on that. It's Columbus on Saturday, July 20th. League's Cup starts July 26th. DC United coming to town, as is Santos from Liga MX on August the 4th. And then the team, as far as the schedule, is off, assuming that it doesn't make the knockout stages.
I want to make that assumption, by the way. I think they'll be favored against DC at home. You might only need 2 points to advance, so I would not be making that assumption.
But the next MLS match after Columbus on Saturday is August 24th on the road at LA Galaxy. So, look, there's plenty of time between now and then. I mean, based off of the team that we do see on Saturday, we could be looking at a completely different Atlanta United side come the end of August. So plenty of reason to stay optimistic for this side.
Well, that's going to do it here. It is a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against NYCFC. They do get a point, and they'll get back at it, like we said, on Saturday night. The Five Stripes Countdown will come right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 6:30 with kickoff shortly after 7:30. For Mike Condi, Jason Longshore, Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. This has been the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back. Pat back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The expectation will be after Lee's.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman joined by the voices of Atlanta United. 2-2 draw for Atlanta here against NYCFC on the next match coming up on Saturday. We'll discuss that one here as we go throughout the show. Make sure to get those questions in at GChapATL, at Mike Conti 929, at Abe Gordon, and at Long Shoe on Twitter. So, and I think we have some audio from Brad Guzan. We'll hear that here in just a little bit as well. But I do want to welcome in Mike Conti. We had some a discussion here, and I want to bring that to the folks out there.
Yes, I would like to make a monologue at this time. No. I think clearly this has been an enormously frustrating season for Atlanta United. They've played now 24 matches and have only 6 wins. I mean, way, way, way below club standard. And I know that it's very, very tempting to get very frustrated with blowing a 2-goal lead tonight. I think this all comes back to one very basic fact, that this team is very, very tired. And some of why that is within their control. They did sell some players. A lot of it is not in their control. The fixture compression, players getting called up for international duty, players getting called into CONCACAF U20. I mean, you name it. You've had a lot of call-ups, and between that and injuries and everything else, you've been left with a very thin team with your remaining first-choice guys playing a ton of minutes. And I would use Bartek Schlesch as an example tonight of someone who played a fantastic first half and made a grievous error in the 65th minute, because what happens when you get fatigued is you make mistakes. I think we are seeing this around the league. I think there have been way below standard matches played around the league over the last couple months in many cases, because it's just too much right now. So as Garth Lagerwey told us during the pre-match show, they're going to be very, very active in this transfer window. They're going to bring guys in. We could see one on Saturday. Garth certainly made it sound like League's Cup would be maybe a little too soon to see some of the players that could be brought in, and a lot of that has to do with travel and visas and everything like that. But the bottom line is, what's Atlanta United on right now? 27 points? 20? Help me out.
Right now it's 25.
20. Okay, 25. You know, we'll see what happens Saturday. You're going to go in your final 9 matches of the season probably needing 2 points. You'll need 2 points per match to get to 43 points, and I still don't know if that's going to be enough to put you in the top 9. You might have to play above 2 points per match. So this thing is not over yet, but I will be anxious to see this team maybe in a better position physically with some help. As I said at the end of the game in Montreal, this group badly needs the help right now. I'll be very interesting to see how this plays out, because I don't think this is over yet.
And, Mike, to your point, too, I just went back and did quick math, so check me on that here in a second. But, look, going back to April, this team has been playing a match every 4 days.
It's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Every 4 days. And a lot of these guys are – that doesn't even include Euros. That doesn't include other call-ups. I mean, this is the kind of situation where you have guys like Bartosz Schlesz who are playing a full 90 minutes and running in the midfield – and what you're asking these guys to do, just from a fitness standpoint, is unlike anything that we've seen. I mean, every 4 days.
I don't think they've had the ability to have a conventional training since the week off after the Charlotte match, and that was in early June. So, look, not making excuses. I think just trying to provide context to where things are right now. And you know, I'll be the first one to say that Atlanta United has absolutely underperformed this season. But I think what we saw tonight is just another example of the team breaking down due to fatigue. And I really, really wish Shaundé Silva would have scored from the top of the 18 at the end of the first half when Freeze made that fingertip save. Because if it's 3-0 going into the dressing room, it's lights out.
Yeah. And look, I know one word that was used a lot with me, like when I was talking to Rob Bellantino after the match, he used the word complacency in the second half a lot. He said specifically he did not like what he saw with complacency. And Jason, I mean, is that what you saw in the second half?
No, I didn't see it that way. I saw New York City make a change that put Hannes Wolf at left back and brought on Tylus Magno, and they overloaded the left side. Brooks Lennon could only do so much. Saba Lobjanidze, I think, was tired and couldn't chase back the whole time, and you weren't covering that side enough. It felt like where NYC started to really chip away at the game was on the left with that move, because you're putting a winger at left back and you're bringing on a winger who's very talented and hasn't played a whole lot this season. I guess maybe because he falls down all the time. It's just been one of those situations where they make the sub that changes the game, and you don't really have an answer to it. We saw this at Real Salt Lake as well, when they brought on Andrew Brody at halftime and were able to then attack down the wings more successfully after Atlanta took away the middle. In this one, I don't really know what the change would have been outside of really just going to a line of five and sitting back and trying to absorb the pressure. But to me, it didn't feel like complacency. Tired legs is part of it, but I think it was a tactical move that Nick Cushing made that really started to topple Atlanta over a little bit on that left side.
Yeah, and NYCFC, of course, able to notch two goals in the second half and run away back to the confines of their baseball field with a point.
Baseball fields, they have two.
Exactly. So when we get back, we're going to continue our discussion here. NYCFC able to take a point from Atlanta United. Both they share a point here. More discussion here. 2-2 draw from Atlanta United. This is the Full Time Report, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Full Time!
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon here along with Garrett Chapman, Jason Longshore, and Mike Conti. And look, enough about what we've seen today. I do want to look forward, and I know Garrett's going to ask you about the next match in just a moment. I want to talk about something else that could happen as early as tomorrow, and that is the transfer window. And we're awaiting some reinforcements, some additions to this team. And Jason, I want to ask you this. Simply based on what we've seen out of Daniel Rios recently, has there been any adjustments to maybe what this team is looking for out of the transfer window?
No, it's a good question. I don't think adjustments in terms of you're not looking for a nine. Has it maybe changed the priorities?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Daniel Rios is a player that I've talked about. It's 2019. When he went to Nashville, and he was their first MLS signing and had a great year in USL Championship, and then never really seemed to get an opportunity in Nashville. Then he ends up in Charlotte, and he never seemed to really get an opportunity in Charlotte. Went back to Chivas, never seemed to get an opportunity there. He's getting it now, and what's he doing? He's putting a goal or an assist pretty much every game. That's substantial. So does that give you the ability to... You want to look for a number nine? Okay, look a little harder. You can spend a little bit more. You can go for a more challenging purchase. You got to get the number 10, though. That's the part that you have to go get. I don't know if it changed the priority order. I think maybe it's just the way things have fallen. We've heard a good bit about Alexei Maranchuk from Atalanta. You know, maybe that was just the deal that got closer. We haven't really heard about a number nine in any significant detail. I know there's been rumors out there, but from reputable sources. I don't think Rios' performances changed that order of going out and looking for guys, but it does give you more flexibility right now, because if you get Maranchuk in and you're creating more chances and Daniel Rios continues to do what he's been doing, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a situation where Abe, you talked about it when we kicked off the full-time report. You've said it now for a few weeks. I mean, this team needs to tread water. It needs to stay in striking position. And right now, they're just a few points off of the playoff line. And, I mean, if you're able to stack some positive results and get something good out of your next couple of matches before at the beginning of this transfer window, maybe you can build up enough momentum and go on a run and see what you can do come the second half of the season and like once it actually ramps all the way up. And, look, this team has some glaring needs. It has some things that need to be addressed. We've talked to Garth Lagerwey about it. We've talked about it ad nauseum here on our programs. And I mean, until Atlanta's able to continuously stack positive results, it's all talk, and that's all it can be. But as far as building those results, I mean, they are able to get a point today here from NYCFC. Doesn't always feel like a complete and total positive, but it is a point, and it keeps them alive in that playoff race. But coming to town on Saturday, you have Columbus Crew, which, I mean, by all means, is the best team in Major League Soccer. They just beat LAFC 5-1 out there on the West Coast on Saturday. They've scored 21 goals in their last six matches. I mean, this is an Atlanta United squad that I was optimistic was going to be able to get a positive result today. They technically do. But sometimes draws do feel like losses, and well, this one kind of feels that way.
Columbus will be coming off a draw that feels like a loss. Mm-hmm. They gave up a late goal to Charlotte tonight to cough up 2 points at home. Columbus will play with the backup goalkeeper. Patrick Schulte is with the U-20s right now. Hagen, their backup goalkeeper, I obviously couldn't watch the match, but it looked like statistically he had a huge game tonight. Charlotte had over 3 XG. And Hagen held them to one and almost got the clean sheet. Columbus did not rotate tonight otherwise. I think that's significant. Just keep that in mind. They were playing at home tonight. So maybe, just maybe, glimmer of hope, you could see a little bit of rotation on Saturday. I think, again, to me, you hope for the best on Saturday. You're really judging this team and where this is going to go the rest of the year once you get out of Leagues Cup and you get your transfer, your incomings brought in here. I think Rob's probably going to have to problem solve some issues lineup-wise a little bit. Might go back to the back five because you will have Steven Gregerson back available. I don't know if Dax McCarty could give you 90 more minutes on Saturday because he had a long run out tonight. Saba, I think, really emptied the tank tonight. Shande Silva emptied the tank tonight. So might be a little bit of problem solving that Rob has to do. But look, you're still at home. And I know the home form hasn't been great this year, but you're still at home. Mm-hmm. And I think in your last three, you're unbeaten at home, I want to say. A couple draws in there, but Houston, Toronto, and now New York City. Mm-hmm. And to Abe's point at the beginning of the show, if you were to tell me in the office today Atlanta United's going to play to a 2-2 draw against New York City, not knowing how it would happen, we're like, all right, I'll take that.
I've been saying, knowing what the team is right now, especially with Noah Cobb out and Caleb Wiley gone and other things, I mean, a point is huge. I know it doesn't sound like it, and no one's happy with a point when it looked like three was on the table. But a point right now is huge to just stay in touch with the playoff line.
Well,
it really is.
If you find a way to get three
on
Saturday, that's massive. Because we talked about if you're at a two-point-per-match clip coming out of Leagues Cup, right now that only gets you to 43 points, and that's not going to be enough. If you could somehow get three on Saturday, now that a two-point-per-match clip could get you to 46, that probably will be enough to get you at least to ninth. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and then one quick note on that. It's Columbus on Saturday, July 20th. Leagues Cup starts July 26th. DC United coming to town, as is Santos from Liga MX on August the 4th. And then the team, as far as the schedule, is off, assuming that it doesn't make the knockout stages.
I want to make that assumption, by the way. I think they'll be favored against DC at home. You might only need 2 points to advance, so I would not be making that assumption.
But the next MLS match after Columbus on Saturday is August 24th on the road at LA Galaxy. So, look, there's plenty of time between now and then. I mean, based off of the team that we do see on Saturday, we could be looking at a completely different Atlanta United side come the end of August. So plenty of reason to stay optimistic for this side.
Well, that's going to do it here. It is a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against NYCFC. They do get a point, and they'll get back at it, like we said, on Saturday night. The Five Stripes Countdown will come right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 6:30 with kickoff shortly after 7:30. For Mike Conde, Jason Longshore, Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. This has been the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to The Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full-time!
This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Come back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is the Full Time Report. Abe Gordon here along with Garrett Chapman, Jason Longshore, and Mike Conti. And look, enough about what we've seen today. I do want to look forward, and I know Garrett's going to ask you about the next match in just a moment. I want to talk about something else that could happen as early as tomorrow, and that is the transfer window. And we're awaiting some reinforcements, some additions to this team. And Jason, I want to ask you this. Simply based on what we've seen out of Daniel Rios recently, has there been any adjustments to maybe what this team is looking for out of the transfer window?
No, it's a good question. I don't think adjustments in terms of you're not looking for a nine. Has it maybe changed the priorities?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Daniel Rios is a player that I've talked about. It's 2019. When he went to Nashville and he was their first MLS signing and had a great year in USL Championship and then never really seemed to get an opportunity in Nashville. Then he ends up in Charlotte and he never seemed to really get an opportunity in Charlotte. Went back to Chivas, never seemed to get an opportunity there. He's getting it now, and what's he doing? He's putting a goal or an assist pretty much every game. That's substantial. So does that give you the ability to... You want to look for a number nine? Okay, look a little harder. You can spend a little bit more. You can go for a more challenging purchase. You got to get the number 10, though. That's the part that you have to go get. I don't know if it changed the priority order. I think maybe it's just the way things have fallen. We've heard a good bit about Alexi Maranchuk from Atalanta. You know, maybe that was just the deal that got closer. We haven't really heard about a number nine in any significant detail. I know there's been rumors out there, but from reputable sources. I don't think Rios' performances changed that order of going out and looking for guys, but it does give you more flexibility right now, because if you get Maranchuk in and you're creating more chances and Daniel Rios continues to do what he's been doing, you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a situation where, Abe, you talked about it when we kicked off the full-time report. You've said it now for a few weeks. I mean, this team needs to tread water. It needs to stay in striking position. And right now, they're just a few points off of the playoff line. And, I mean, if you're able to stack some positive results and get something good out of your next couple of matches before at the beginning of this transfer window, maybe you can build up enough momentum and go on a run and see what you can do come the second half of the season and like once it actually ramps all the way up. And, look, this team has some glaring needs. It has some things that need to be addressed. We've talked to Garth Lagerwey about it. We've talked about it ad nauseum here on our programs. And I mean, until Atlanta's able to continuously stack positive results, it's all talk, and that's all it can be. But as far as building those results, I mean, they are able to get a point today here from NYCFC. Doesn't always feel like a complete and total positive, but it is a point, and it keeps them alive in that playoff race. But coming to town on Saturday, you have Columbus Crew, which, I mean, by all means, is the best team in Major League Soccer. They just beat LAFC 5-1 out there on the West Coast on Saturday. They've scored 21 goals in their last six matches. I mean, this is an Atlanta United squad that I was optimistic was going to be able to get a positive result today. They technically do, but sometimes draws do feel like losses,
well,
and this one kind of feels that way.
Columbus will be coming off a draw that feels like a loss. Mm-hmm. They gave up a late goal to Charlotte tonight to cough up 2 points at home. Columbus will play with a backup goalkeeper. Patrick Schulte is with the U-20s right now. Hagen, their backup goalkeeper, I obviously couldn't watch the match, but it looked like statistically he had a huge game tonight. Charlotte had over 3 XG, and Hagen held them to 1 and almost got the clean sheet. Columbus did not rotate tonight otherwise. I think that's significant. Just keep that in mind. They were playing at home tonight. So... maybe, just maybe, glimmer of hope, you could see a little bit of rotation on Saturday. I think, again, to me, you hope for the best on Saturday. You're really judging this team and where this is going to go the rest of the year once you get out of League's Cup and you get your transfer, your incomings brought in here. I think Rob's probably going to have to problem solve some issues lineup wise a little bit. Might go back to the back five because you will have Steven Gregerson back available. I don't know if Dax McCarty could give you 90 more minutes on Saturday because he had a a long run out tonight. Saba, I think, really emptied the tank tonight. Shandy Silva emptied the tank tonight. So might be a little bit of problem solving that Rob has to do. But look, you're still at home. And I know the home form hasn't been great this year, but you're still at home. Mm-hmm. And I think in your last three, you're unbeaten at home, I want to say. A couple draws in there, but Houston, Toronto, and now New York City. Mm-hmm. And to Ames' point at the beginning of the show, if you were to tell me in the office today, Atlanta United's going to play to a 2-2 draw against New York City, not knowing how it would happen, I'd be like, all right, that's... I'll take that.
I've been saying, knowing what the team is right now, especially with Noah Cobb out and Caleb Wiley gone and other things, I mean, a point is huge. I know it doesn't sound like it, and no one's happy with a point when it looked like three was on the table, but a point right now is huge to just stay in touch with the playoff line.
Well,
it really is.
If you find a way to get three
on
Saturday, that's massive. Because we talked about if you're at a two-point-per-match clip, coming out of League's Cup. Right now, that only gets you to 43 points, and that's not going to be enough. If you could somehow get three on Saturday, now that a two-point-per-match clip could get you to 46, that probably will be enough to get you at least to ninth. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and then one quick note on that. It's Columbus on Saturday, July 20th. League's Cup starts July 26th. DC United coming to town, as is Santos from Liga MX on August the 4th. And then the team, as far as the schedule, is off, assuming that it doesn't make the knockout stages.
I want to make that assumption, by the way. I think they'll be favored against DC at home. You might only need 2 points to advance, so I would not be making that assumption.
But the next MLS match after Columbus on Saturday is August 24th on the road at LA Galaxy. So, look, there's plenty of time between now and then. I mean, based off of the team that we do see on Saturday, we could be looking at a completely different Atlanta United side come the end of August. So plenty of reason to stay optimistic for this side.
Well, that's going to do it here. It is a 2-2 draw for Atlanta United against NYCFC. They do get a point, and they'll get back at it, like we said, on Saturday night. The Five Stripes Countdown will come right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 6:30. With kickoff shortly after 7:30. For Mike Conde, Jason Longshore, Garrett Chapman, I am Abe Gordon. This has been the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.